executive director. Looks like Carlos Harley has a microphone, so Carlos.
Okay, can all hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. And for those who don't know, this is a quarterly report, so all the items here are since October 1st to the end of December, okay? So during the last quarter, I attended some of the following meetings and activities. The State Educational Advisory Council met, and most of them were annual reports. Different programs gave reports on their progress, on how special education students move up in the different programs. The Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired, NCECPVI, also gave their annual report, and they did make a comment that they partner on different activities with the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. The Nebraska Council of State Administrators of Agencies for the Blind, NCSAB, monthly meetings. In my last meeting as president of NCSAB with RSA Deputy Commissioner Carol Topak, we talked about the need of improving communication between RSA, the Rehabilitation Services Administration, and NCSAB. As a result, the RSA will hold quarterly meetings with directors of agencies for the blind to go over different trainings and policy changes. The first quarterly meeting with RSA will be February 6th, coming up next week. NCACB is also working with the agenda items for the 2024 Spring Conference, which will take place April 10th, 12th in Bethesda, Maryland. We also talk about having three Randall Shepherd training for agency staff, which will be taking place this year, and this will be in a partnership with RSA. The American with Disabilities State Task Force, they only address two issues. One is that E1, I think it's called Enterprise One for the state, the accounting portion of the state, we keep telling them that it's not accessible, and looks like it's not only not accessible, but it's not friendly to both sighted and blind. So they say it's accessible to the blind, but it's not accessible to the average blind person. The other issue they talk about was that there are few buildings in the state, apartment buildings, with no elevators. They are over 30 years old, so supposedly ADA does not apply to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The StarTrans monthly meetings, we approve the recommendations for the Lincoln Safety Plan and the Lincoln Surveillance Report. The paratransit plans are finally coming as they were back ordered due to COVID. At the January meeting, during the public comments, there were much opposition for the new temporary location for the downtown transfer center, which was proposed to be on L and 11th Street. The one right now is being demolished, and some people feel that it's dangerous for users. A new permanent location will take 2.5 years to 3 years to be built, and the folks who were opposed to that temporary location are mainly business owners in the 11th and 12th Street area. I also attended the quarterly Friends of the Commission meeting. For those who don't know, the Friends of the Commission was created around 20 years ago to help the Commission with some funding that we didn't have to serve, well, in the beginning, to be able to match federal grants. I'm just going to summarize some of the areas that are more pertinent to the agency than the Friends in general, Linda and Barbara, so I beg your pardon if I don't cover everything. So the agency mentioned that we might need support on to keep supporting the SSP programs, the support service provider. Thanks, Barbara. I was looking at you. Support service provider. For the some technology for senior clients and also appliances for low-income consumers. Sometimes the consumer needs a new washer, a new talking microwave maybe, and we don't have funds for that. We are not allowed to spend money on that. So we kind of talk about that, and the Friends were very friendly and will consider those areas. At the Council of State Agency for Vocational Rehabilitation regional meetings, well, this is Region 7, we are on Region 7, we had a conference call last week, and some of the areas we talked about was recruiting and retention, customized employment and progressive employment, and the combined state plan. Some of the other meetings I usually attend were canceled due to the weather, and also I was away for a few days. We are working on starting a pilot project to provide support service provider to deafblind individuals. The initials for this is SSPs, for deafblind Nebraskans. The first training session for SSPs have to be canceled due to weather. It has been rescheduled, I believe, for this weekend, right, Tim?
That's correct.
Okay, it's correct, Tim says. Tactile images, 3D works, started to meet with different museums and organizations dealing with art. This is to bring art and science exhibits, which will be accessible to the blind. The first exhibit is tentatively scheduled to come in June of this year. Kat Carroll and Tammy Dunn completed and submitted all the federal reports and met all the deadlines. Now this sounds simple, but it's a lot of work to get all of those numbers kind of connected, matched, compared, so you get the idea, I guess. Kat also continues to train Tammy on how her deputy of finance do this before she retires at the end of this month. You, by the way, you are invited. We are having a party for Kat on February 29th.
Okay.
I'll be sending you an email with more details. Kat and Tammy also work on the internal budget projections for this fiscal year, to be presented to the leadership and the supervisors. This is very helpful because, as you may already know, as a rehabilitation agency, we cannot tell clients we don't have money. If we don't have money, we just need to get into order of selections, and we don't want to do that. So the business office help us to be ahead of the game and they are constantly checking the finances pulse, I will call, of the agency, and let us know if we are maybe going a little too fast spending money and what kind of things we need to do not to get into financial problems. We are also engaged in the preparation of two requests for proposals, RFP. One is for a public service announcement. As you know, we are working on a lot of those, but we were told that we need to put an RFP out there. So we are doing that. It takes a lot of time to get that process going on. The other one is for the wages program. We hope to get this approved on time. So I'll let you know later how that's coming along. The 2023 annual report was completed and sent to the governor's office and the state senators. It's being filed at the unicameral. We work on updates to the NCBPI website as needed. In the area of technology, Hugh Fan, our technology manager, continue to provide staff with day-to-day technology support. He also started to meet with a monthly meetings with the technology specialist. A new landline phone was installed for the business office, and also a new landline was ported to a cell phone. I think that means that we're using the same number. It's just a cell phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just guessed correctly. He also worked on upgrading cell phones for staff members who were due for a new device. He also worked on setting up a commission, NCBBI calendar. A SharePoint demo was set up, and we are testing accessibility for that one. He is also working on DocuSign templates and to make sure that they are accessible so we can start using DocuSign in the agency. In the human resources area, staff updates in the Lincoln District, Caitlin Gallegas completed center training in December and is now working as a PR counselor. The Lincoln District is now fully staffed. Good for them. In the Omaha District, we still have two VR counselor vacancies. In the North Platte District, we hired Candace Dollar for the VR position in Kearney, who started center training in January 3rd. However, after she learned that there is a position available in Omaha, she's requesting to be transferred to that district. So we are working on that. I see Tim smiling now and Crystal a little. We just have second interviews for the technology specialist position and waiting for background checks. This is for the North Platte District still. Meanwhile, we are contracting with a blind consumer, Tina, to help with some of the technology issues for this district. On February 2nd, I think that was yesterday, Fritz Nader announced that he's leaving the agency after 9 years. The training center still have the home management instructor position open. Lucy Alexander contracted with us in December. As you may recall, she was the director of the New Mexico Center for the Blind. Now we have a client, Mora, who is helping until we can fill the position, but no later than August, when she will start her graduate school. We hired Sarah Vrana, who finished her center training at the end of December. In addition to her sleep shake training with us, she started the graduate program with the Louisiana Tech University, and she's getting more sleep shape training with the Louisiana Center for the Blind as part of this program. She's expected to graduate in May so she can be certified as an ONM instructor. This will give us enough time for Jeff to train or to continue training Sarah here at the center before Jeff retires in 2025. I know. With the Nebraska Business Enterprise, Jeff Shear finished her Lincoln District duties and now is working full-time for the MBE, and now this program is fully staffed. In administration, actually, it's mainly the business office. Tammy Dunn was promoted to Deputy Director of Finance, but she's still training Brandy, who was promoted as an accountant too. The position Tammy held, and Brandy's training Vanessa, while she's still learning her new duties. On Vanessa's new duties that Brandy left. And then we have Carolina Mejia, who is a temporary person helping on the front desk. So if you notice that in the business office we are a little, not confused, but maybe behind on a few things, it's because they are still, like I like to say, changing one of the tires while the car is still moving. We completed our strategic and succession planning. And as you recall, we contracted with Mark Schultz, previous RSA commissioner, assistant secretary. We involve at least one person for each district, from each district. And then after analysis by our leadership team and supervisors, we consider factors for the needs and also long-term sustainability with our fixed budget. We decided to move forward to hire, or actually to create new positions. A full-time VR in Omaha. See Tim smiling again. A full-time HR and development. A full-time quality assurance program, which is mainly to provide support to the field counselors. And that will be also coordinating the contracts that we have with different folks like Silver Summit, Wages, and so forth. And then an administrative program officer, which is also to provide support to all the counselors on the field. And that will help to oversee the on-the-job training, work-based learning experiences, the Training Commission for the Blind academic support needs, tracking grades, gathering info for major skill gains, assisting with case management, and overseeing supported employment milestones. Now, you may ask, well, why are we doing this when we didn't have this before? Well, the new WIOA it had a lot of new requirements, mainly paperwork requirements, and the councillors are just overwhelmed. And like I mentioned during our succession planning, that was identified as a big need, so we are doing that. In the area of training opportunities, Crystal Dimas and Tim Jefferson were accepted to attend the National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute, NRLI. Their first cohort starts by the end of February. We are also planning for Tammy Dunn and Pam Raymaker to get this training at the next cohort. In mid-January, all Lincoln District staff attended the Asian Back training on new equipment. Gracie completed training on CSAVR case documentation. Alex Franz completed the cultural diversity and humility training. Community training, okay. Many of us need that, I guess. Craig completed the business services course on identifying employers' needs through the technical assistance centers. Mickey Sussman is pursuing his JAS certification through Freedom Scientific. Fritz participated in a webinar webinar for accessible phones. Center staff participated in a training to the National Blinded Professional Certification Board to get introduction on ethical principles, and they also attended the webinar on how to work with people whose behavior are stigmatized. Field services. Winter Fest was held in November in Aurora with 17 teenagers, and the focus was financial literacy. We also had 8 students attend an advocacy event in Washington, D.C., and they also had an opportunity to attend job fair and student seminars. Field staff continue to network with stakeholders across the state to promote our services, build relationship with employers, and to provide training about blindness. The Lincoln District staff have held several gate teaching programs. They are group teaching, where clients participated on several activities designed to put in practice their blindness alternative techniques. Counselors continue to attend individualized education plans with the public schools and network with the schools also. Some of these schools are Fremont High School, Columbus Public Schools, Lincoln Public Schools, Omaha Public Schools, Miller Public Schools, Nebraska Center for the Education of Children Who Are Blind and Visually Impaired, and Blair School District. They also network with public schools in Pleasanton, Kearney, Givens, Kinsall, Lexington, Alma, Central Valley, Wood River, and Gates Elementary School, among others. Jeff Cheers will finish up the school year with Project Search, partnering with public schools in Lincoln and the Embassy Suites. Omaha staff attended the regional transition with ESU number 3. They presented information about the commission services at an open house for parents and teachers. Our field staff participated on several presentations on networking events. Some of them are for the Lincoln District, Health Booth for the Lincoln Area, Senior Care Expo, Nursing Career Expo at North East Community College, Mosaic in Fremont, American Job Centers, Employee Columbus, Nebraska Department of Labor in Norfolk and Columbus, Veterans Career Fair in Columbus, Salvation Army in Norfolk, and Prairie Village in Columbus. In the Omaha District, some of the networking events were a team participated on a leadership diversity panel at Bellevue University on January 24th. Omaha District staff also networked with the Omaha Vet Center, WIOA Adult Program, provided services to a client via ATP, I Can Connect. ATP stands for Assistant Technology Partnership. In the North Platte District, our folks network with the Department of Labor at the North Platte and Lexington, Independent Living Centers in Scottsbluff, Ask Capacitors, Get Medical Solutions, Employ Kearney and Grand Island, Project Search in Kearney and Grand Island. Now we have the client statistics. The number of clients served this last quarter for older individuals who are blind was 508. For independent living under 55 was 81. And for VR clients, 430. We have clients get jobs as business operation specialist, post-secondary teacher, elementary school teacher, janitor, landscaping, mental health counselor, project management specialist, Randolph Shepherd vendor, and teacher assistant. At the training center, we started to make some plans for the celebration of our 50th anniversary of the Nebraska Center for the Blind. This is tentatively scheduled for October 15th, which is the White Cane Awareness Day. Why a big deal about the center celebration is because that's when Nebraska started a big philosophical change and got national recognition about the kind of training we provided. That was the basis for the services we provide these days. There are 8 people attending training at the center, 5 consumers. One is another one is a VR consumer from another state, and there are 2 staff trainees. 2 VR consumers are scheduled to begin training later in this month. An Oregon consumer is completing an apprenticeship to get certified as a rehabilitation teacher for the blind through the National Blindness Professional Certification Board. We have 4 tours for consumers and 2 3-day stays. One consumer scheduled a 3-day stay for the end of February. We also provided a tour for a new employee of the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. and we share information on how the Commission for the Blind and the Commission for the Deaf can work together when working with deaf-blind consumers. In March, center staff will have the opportunity to collaborate virtually with some colleagues from across the country to share ideas. This is a valuable opportunity to develop professional network. The remodeling of the center is completed. The tile in the hallway and home management classrooms were replaced with a vinyl flooring. I'm being told it looks very nice. The hallway, classrooms and bathrooms, walls and door frames have been pre-painted, and new signs have been installed with room numbers in braille and raised letters. Nebraska Business Enterprise, we have installed new vending machines at the Lincoln Regional Center. YRTC, which I think stands for Youth Rehabilitation Training Center, this is in Carmen. YRTC in Hastings, and DHHS in York. A micro market is also being installed at the US Strategic Command at Offutt. And this micro market is proved to be very popular. This is being run by the person who runs the vending machines at the base. We still have vending machines and micro market locations pending to be installed later on in February and March. Some of these locations are DHHS in Omaha office, Bellevue, Hastings, the Nebraska Department of Education in Lincoln, and also the Beatrice State Developmental Center. These projects were delayed for different reasons. And we still have one federal project in the works, adding some more vending machines. And this is going to be at the U.S. of Agriculture office in Lincoln. There are still 12 licensed vendors, but there are 3 in training, and they are already running facilities. So once they finish their training, we're expected to have 15 licensed vendors. We are planning to have a retreat sometime in the spring. And that's the short version of my report. I will be glad to ask any questions.
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Okay, my first question, Carlos, is, pardon me, you were talking about a number of administrative positions that would need to be made available because of, you know, added paperwork and, excuse me. But my first question is, what would the function of the HR person be? That would be my first question. And then my second question relates to, you know, you mentioned several positions that would need to be made available because of the added workload and the added paperwork that needs to be done, you know, because the federal government required it. And I used to work for the federal government, so I know how much they love to kill those trees. But I guess what I'm concerned about as a consumer is having a heavy load of administrative personnel, and yet there is so much need for counselors to serve the consumers at the agency, and I know that the agency is working to fill some of those positions, but I guess I'm kind of concerned about that, and also I was wondering if there is a way that we could get some kind of a flow chart or some kind of a chart that shows like you at the top and then who's below you and who's below them and sure. what it would look like in the future with this, if you hire all these extra people. So does that sound like a reasonable, I mean, am I making sense here? Or?
Oh, yeah, you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, first of all, the chart, sure, we will provide that to you as soon as the next 2 weeks, if Kathy and Tammy can work on that, I'll appreciate that. You wanted to, Barbara?
She said make it accessible.
Okay. Yeah, make it accessible for Cheryl, yeah. And for me too, yeah. Let me see if I can answer each of your questions, Cheryl, and then you let me know which ones I haven't answered, okay?
Okay.
First of all, I also thought we will hire more counselors for the field. And as I reported, we engage field counselors, line staff, because we wanted to hear from them what they think they need. And the counselors were saying that for them to be able to provide better services to the clients, they needed this type of support. So it's support to the counselor, it's not to administration.
Okay.
Because we were offering, at least I thought, okay, let's get more counselors. And the counselors said, no, we can do the job. The reason we are so busy is because that extra paperwork. Can you add more to that? Because you were, Aaron, you were on those meetings. As director, I try not to be there, not to influence. Like I said, it was mainly trying to engage staff members to listen to their concerns, to their needs.
Okay.
So that's one. And before you answer, Aaron, as part of that, too, let me ask about or answer about the HR. It's HR and policy, okay? And also will be PR. There are a lot of documents that we need to write and report to the federal government. As you know, the deputy directors don't have a full-time administrative assistant or support. Dave Robinson used to be the HR person. You know, it was part-time. So this is going to be part-time HR, part-time policy development, and part-time PR. When we get new staff members, we notice that shared services, we are contracting with shared services, we are paying shared services over 20,000, right, Kat? Maybe 30,000. Thinking that they were going to help us, but they are not. So this HR person will be doing what shared services is doing for us, processing the time sheets, dealing with disciplinary process, training new staff members, you know, the onboarding staff. There are a lot of discipline, but when there is a disciplinary process, all of that is doing in total confidentiality, so people are not aware how complicated that could be. And again, we notice that church services is not providing that quality support to us. So this person will be doing that. Again, when this was brought up to the counselors, they agreed they need that. The policy person is, there is a lot of policy that you know. We used to have memos for the policy. Now it's a huge document. And when you tell the counselor, read or tell me or find out what the policy is on this area, they get overwhelmed. So we need a policy person who is able to answer to them right away. Mm-hmm. It's to facilitate the work of counselors, so counselors can focus more on client services. And the PR portion also, it's none of us, you know, part of my job is to do presentations, so Aaron, but we don't have a per se peer person in the Dr. Nyman's era. That was one person who did HR and PR, and we heard that also from some consumers, and we should be doing that. So again, that wasn't my only input. That was brought up by a line staff who needed this kind of support. So Erin, can you add more to?
Yeah, for the position that'll be helping the counselors, we really do see that as a field client services specific position. As regulations have changed throughout the recent years, especially, what we've had to do to adapt is just make everybody jack of all trades. And it just keeps building and building and building. So we kind of feel like we're at a point where nobody's doing what they want to do the best they can because we're so overwhelmed in trying to make time for the things we have to do. We have really great staff out in the field, and we want to help them by removing those things that make them feel overwhelmed or that distract them from the quality services. So in turn, by adding this position that can take care of those really stressful and important but time-consuming tasks, it'll free up our counselors to be able to be out in the field more, be more attentive and focused on, you know, the goals and things rather than the paperwork requirements that we have.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Sure, no, I'm glad you're asking those questions. It helps to clarify things for everybody. Anything you think I haven't answered, Cheryl?
No, you've answered everything that I needed to know, Carlos. Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions for Carlos?
I just wanted to know, you guys have had a chance to create a plan on how to implement those positions? Is this going to be throughout the year, or?
Well, we need to create, they call it a PDQ, personal development. I forgot it, what they stand for, but it's a comprehensive document. The Q stands for questionnaire. Personnel, do you know?
Position description.
Position description?
Questionnaire.
Yeah.
Position, not personnel anymore. Right? Position description questionnaire. So it's a very comprehensive document that we need to justify why we want to create that position. So we send that to state personnel. They check that. And we also need to make sure that we have enough funds for that, to sustain that. So besides the deputy director of finance saying, yes, we do have the funds, they also check with the state accounting or state, is that the state accounting, Kat?
State budget.
State budget division. Yeah, they check with them. And after that, they approve each of those positions. So again, it's going to take a while because we don't have a HR person to work on those PDQs. So we want to start working on those as soon as we get the chance, I guess. So we need to identify which of those positions maybe is the main one that we need, Erin, and start working on that one first.
Do you guys think it's going to be like this next year, or it's going to be more than a year?
Well, we hope to have them this year because we don't want to send money back to the feds either.
I was wondering, what is the RFB stand for?
And that was under which part?
For the, regarding the PR media stuff that...
Oh, it's RFP.
Request for proposal.
For proposal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce it. It's a request for proposal.
And what is the reason that you need to do that for that specific task?
Yeah, actually, as a director, I can only authorize up to $49,999 for contracts. Anything above that needs to be out for competition and request for proposal. So that's why we need to do that, because this is going to cost more than $50,000.
I know there's many things that we do with the RSA, but what are the most top topics that you think that you guys are going to be doing for those quarterly meetings?
What they are identifying right now is Randall Shepherd. It's one of them. There were a lot of questions that they didn't answer. Another one was they sent a letter announcing that there is not going to be a way to separate state agencies in, like say, Nebraska, because there are two League of Agencies. In their mind, it's going to be one in for grant purposes, like for creates, for different grant purposes. They send that without any considerations, and there is a potential that Agency for the Blind could be affected. So we want them to address that too. So far, the main one will be Randall Shepherd, and then the Executive Committee of NCSAB will tell them, you know, what are the next issues, or RSA will also tell us, this is coming up, we would like to meet with you. So far, that's what we are talking about.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Any other questions for those?
Can I? Regarding do we have some type of position for someone that's what they do 100%, or is that still a shared responsibility amongst your staff?
Yeah, it's a shared responsibility. We try to have a person for transition. What happened is it's mainly each counselor needs to provide those services. So when we got the transition counselor, it was mainly for the different programs. But now, when we're talking again, going back to the succession planning, the feeling, the sense from the counselors, where we don't need that anymore. Is that right, Erin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And contracting, it is working out. It's less stress to counselors. But again, the pre-ed services, each counselor has to do those things. Yeah.
Okay, then I guess, you know, I love that we're having positions to, you know, do our jobs better. Is the funding that's going to pay for those, is that based on budgetary dollars, or are we budgeting based on some, reallotment dollars or social security?
All of the positions are under fixed expenditure. Okay. Yep. We are not relying on reallotment or social security for any of the salaries.
Okay.
That was one of the questions that asked also from staff members, that they were concerned of hiring more people when maybe later on we could be in problems, and we're using only fixed expenditure for that.
When you say that's federal and state dollars that we know we're counting on.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's all I got. Thanks.